Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In the 2020 draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU.
Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, LSU. Standing 6'3 and 202 pounds, Jefferson is a matchup problem with terrific ball skills. He hauled in 111 catches and 18 touchdowns last season.
Joe Burrow's go-to guy, Justin Jefferson. Tied for first in reception, second in touchdowns, third in yards for the national champs. This is a very, very good player. And with Diggs off to Buffalo, the man that they picked the pick from Buffalo is now Justin Jefferson, all of 21 years of age. Let's start breaking him down. Before we do that, though, a trade. The Patriots trade out of the first round for now with the 23rd pick to go to the L.A. Chargers in exchange for the 37th and 71st pick. So the Chargers will be picking here after the Vikings selection of Justin Jefferson. So it's a two-prong attack. And here's Goodell on the pick. No, not quite yet. Okay, quickly break it down. Let's go. Who wants in first? Raise your hand. We'll go with Dan Pompey.
You know, I think this is a really nice pick for the Vikings, Jeff. Good replacement for Stephon Diggs. I think this is a plug-and-play guy. He's polished. He's a good route runner. He's been productive. Just all around, a guy who checks all the boxes. Maybe not quite as dynamic as receivers who went really a lot earlier, but I think a guy who will help you in a lot of different ways, can run all the routes and be quarterback-friendly, make tough catches. I think Kirk Cousins is going to like him a lot.
Hub.
Well, you know, guys, Joe Burrow blew me away
Patriots
in the national championship
game. Patriots
have
traded the 23rd pick to the Los Angeles Chargers. With the 23rd pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Kenneth Murray, linebacker, Oklahoma.
Kenneth Murray, linebacker, Oklahoma. The 6'2", 240-pound linebacker recorded 250 tackles the last two seasons with the Sooners. He was named an All-American as a junior in 2019.
This guy's going to be a plug-and-play guy, too, I have a feeling. A great character from Oklahoma on a defense that had its problems, obviously, in the crazy Big 12, where defense generally isn't top of the order. But Kenneth Murray, a tackle machine, fellas. So he goes in that trade from the Patriots to the Chargers, and the Saints are on the clock next at number 24. So, Dan, pick it up where you left off on Jefferson with the Vikings.
Yeah, you know, I really believe that Jefferson is going to fit in well in that offense and complement the players that they have and kind of give them Diggs can do some things that he couldn't do because Diggs had top-end speed and was a different type of receiver, but this guy is more all-around. In terms of Murray, you know, you're talking about a guy started 42 games and, is a guy who could be kind of a culture changer. With great intangibles off the field and on, and very productive, can play Will or Mike. I think it's a really nice pickup for LA Chargers.
go to Tom Thayer.
Oh, with Justin Jefferson, here's a guy that capitalized on a quarterback that's having a great year. And then when you look at the quarterback, he kind of used a receiver that they knew they had a good rapport. If you look at some of his scramble throws, he was looking for Jefferson. And that's, I think, the compliment to really the receiver. He understands that he's playing in an offense with other star potential there, but the biggest star on that offense is the quarterback. You develop that rapport with him, and then you look at some of the strain. You know, here's a guy with 111 receptions. Here's a guy that you look at some of those receptions, it's a complete, you know, bailout throw in a second effort by Joe Burrow. So I like the ability to develop that relationship with a quarterback. Now you'll see how it is going forward if he has years of service with Kirk Cousins or, you know, it'll be a couple-year deal. He'll be around him.
David?
Low maintenance, high IQ. I liked what I saw, Tom. That's a great observation, the way that he and Burrow had this sort of sixth sense and scramble drills, and he was a guy that found a way to get open. Pretty good hands, in the right offense, on the right team, and I think Kirk Cousins has to be thrilled. He wins the draft tonight from the Minnesota perspective. As for Murray, he's a guy that is definitely productive. You can see him as a plug-and-play guy, fast, explosive, can get sideline to sideline, good character, and he survived the Big 12 experience. He started a lot of games in a conference that didn't play a lot of defense, and he kept coming back for more, so he's not going to see anything that's going to phase him. He's a survivor, and I like this pick.
Made all the calls, Hub Arkish, for Oklahoma's defense, an explosive blitzer. Also idolized Ray Lewis. Watch the highlights before every game. Just a tackle machine.
Yeah, Jeff, what I started to say about Jefferson was just as simple as much as Joe Burrow blew me away in the championship game, Jefferson actually impressed me more. I thought he was the best player on the field in that game. To get him the pick after Justin Reagor, I love this pick for the Vikings. Perfect compliment to Adam Thielen. Kenneth Murray, I love this pick too. We had him as the 15th best player in the draft, the fifth best defensive player. Remember, the Chargers brought in Thomas Davis last year as a 37-year-old free agent. Played well, but wasn't special anymore. They let him move on. Murray will be plugged right into that spot. Outstanding football player. I do think the one thing you have to add, though, is he was expensive. It cost him a 1, a 2, and a 3, and that's a lot of money to pay for an inside for any linebacker, really.
Well, buddy, yeah, you're right. It is, and it's somebody that they clearly went up. You know, I looked at Murray as a Baltimore Raven type of linebacker. You know, like he'd be a perfect fit, Dan Pompey and Tom Thayer, you know, in a defense like that. He's just a guy that really comes downhill and does a lot of different things. Really, really. Something of a great story, too, that, you know, he grew up in suburban Houston. He was the older brother, basically, to three adopted special needs kids, and those were the center of his life beyond football. So, really impressive story. There's a lot of great stories in this draft about stuff like that. The Saints on the clock. What do the New Orleans Saints need, David Haw? What are you looking at with the Saints at number 24?
Well, you think that with the Saints, could they come at this from a really – could this be a big surprise here? Could they surprise people by taking a quarterback? Could they, you know, jump into the fray and take a Jordan Love? Could they, you know, raise some eyebrows and be that, you know, the Drew Brees post-retirement plan? I don't know. That seems like a little bit bold, but it's Sean Payton.
It's been discussed.
It is the New Orleans Saints. They have the luxury of doing that. This is a win-now team that can plan for the future by getting a guy like Love. So if they went off, you know, and did something like that, that would be bold, that would be aggressive, and that would probably be well-received in New Orleans.
Dan Pompey?
Yeah, I would think they could go a few ways here. Certainly they need some help on defense. They could go – there's a good linebacker, another good linebacker sitting there, and Patrick Queen. They could go for a cornerback. They could go for a interior defensive lineman. They could go for a safety even. So I would expect them to go defense, but they've surprised me before.
Hub, they could also go receiver here.
Jeff, you took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, as good as Michael Thomas is, probably the best in the league right now, they really didn't have a solid second option. They could go receiver or tight end, you know, because they don't really have a young enough tight end. I mean, Jared Cook, when he's healthy, but the guy can't stay on the field. This is too high probably for Cole Kmet or Harrison Bryant, but it wouldn't be stunning. I had thought if Justin Herbert was here, it would be a no-brainer, and obviously he went much higher at six. They need the quarterback of the future. But I'd be hard-pressed to believe that they've got that much confidence in Jordan Love, or certainly not, you know, Eason or Fromm. So I'm guessing a pass catcher here, probably more likely a receiver than a tight end. But, you know, you look at Laviska Shenault, you look at T. Higgins. Boy, yeah, T. Mims. Higgins and Michael Thomas. Imagine trying to stop the two of them.
Boy, and you got Mims out there, Pittman. Now, you know, there's no way. I mean, how about the running game? How about the running game? Do they do? Are they definitely going to reinvest in Alvin Kamara?
I would certainly think so. I mean, you know, he did not have the year last year. He did the year before, but he is still, you know, one of the top three, four running backs production wise in the NFL. Their cap is always strangled, but if we assume that this is the last year for Drew Brees, they get a ton of relief there. So I got to believe they're not going to let Kamara get away.
That's Hal Barkish, Tom Thayer, David Haw, Dan Pompey, Jeff Joniak with you, with Mark Grody stepping in as well, looking at the Bears. They're picking 43 and 50th tomorrow as it stands, and we're winding to the 24th pick here for the New Orleans Saints as we have gone 3 hours, just about 3 hours into the NFL draft. David, I saw your lips moving, but nothing coming out, so you have something to say. Well, bring it on, my man.
Well, just remember, when they got Kamara, they also had Mark Ingram. So the Saints have been known to collect weapons, and that's what they do in an offense as good as Sean Payton's offense typically is. I wonder if they would be tempted by one of the running backs still on the board. They're all on
the 2020 NFL draft. The New Orleans Saints select Cesar Ruiz, center, Michigan.
Cesar Ruiz, offensive lineman, Michigan. A two-year starter at center, the 6'3", 307-pound prospect has position flexibility for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that was on the end of a lot of a mock drafts or early second round, but one of the Michigan guys highly thought of as a 6'2", 3 1/4", 307-pound player, could possibly play guard as well, great length and pass pro. I'll have Tom break him down a little bit more, but the New Orleans Saints, I saw a couple jaws drop in here with Cesar Ruiz on the screen, on my Zoom screen. So, Tom, we'll start with you for the offense, getting an offensive lineman in the trenches to help things out.
You know, all six or seven of us here trying to predict what the New Orleans Saints were going to go to. Not one person considered the poor offensive line as a position. You guys reached out to every single position but that. But he's brought in
a good offensive line already.
Yes, but he's brought in here to be a center. I don't think that, you know, he's got the ability to play multiple positions at a college level. But when you're talking about 6'2", 307, you're talking about a center that's going to have guard help on each side of him. I don't think he's going to step away from the center position and be an offensive guard, because you lose length, you lose space. He's short in that area. So I think they brought him in here to be developed at the center position with one of the most intelligent quarterbacks ever to play in the NFL. And I think it's something he can learn a lot if Drew Brees is gone after this year. But I think this is a plug-and-play player from day one.
Well, they did draft a center last year and moved up to get him in Eric McCoy. Larry Warford is an outstanding run blocker, but in their contract year, they got two outstanding tackles. They got Andres Pete at left guard. I mean, that's arguably, you know, right up there with one of the premier lines already in the National Football League. Let's get Dan Pompey's reaction.
You know, he did start a few games at guard as a freshman before moving to center, so maybe that's where his future is going to be for the Saints. I'm a little surprised he went this high. I thought he was going to go a little bit later, but I really can't argue with the pick, because everyone I talked to thought that he was going to be a guy who's going to be able to come to the National Football League and become an immediate starter and be a good, solid player for a lot of years. And really, what more could you ask for from a draft pick at this point in the first round? So I think he'll be a good Saint. I think it's hard to argue with the pick.
Well, it made him cry because Hub Arkish, there were tears rolling down his eyes, as Mark Grody just informed me after watching it on television. And why not? He came from a very tough background. His dad died helping change a flat tire. Caesar was only 8 years old. It was a crime-infested area across the river in Camden, Jersey, across from Philadelphia. So he admitted it was not an easy experience working his way out of there. His mom was 15 when he was born, raised him, worked two jobs. But this guy plowed through and turned out to be a great kid.
Well, you know, Jeff, it's a really interesting pick because the kid's a hell of a football player, and he's a really high-character young man. He was principally a center at Michigan. There's been talk about his ability to play guard, but as Tom pointed out, he seems awfully short for it. I was listening to an interview with him earlier today, actually, where he said his goal is to be the best center in the history of the NFL. They just gave Andres Pete a boatload of money to stay at guard, I think, but they were really happy with Eric McCoy last year. They traded up to get him, and they were really pleased with the way he played. So the hard part for me is figuring out where they're going to put him, and if this just isn't again. Now, you remember, with Drew Brees, it's always about protecting from the inside out. They've always worried more about the center and the two guards than they have the tackles, but they seem to be fully manned there, so maybe it's just a move for the future. Maybe Larry Warford's in his last year. I'm not sure why they did this.
He is in the last year of his contract, the road grader and run blocker. But and by the way, the Vikings have just traded the 25th pick to the 49ers, who are active and moving. So, David Haugh, you have a thought on the Saints?
The Saints, and you hear executives talking about the highest player on their board, and that's who they take, regardless of need. This might be an example of that. Maybe Ruiz was just the highest guy, and they'll figure out the ramifications later on the depth chart.
All right, we're going to step away. The Vikings trading to the 49ers after the Vikings just took Justin Jefferson at the 22nd pick in the division, the only other division team to make a selection. Third pick overall, Jeff Okuda goes to the Lions from Ohio State. We're at pick number 25, and we come back. This is the NFL draft coverage here on The Score. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
The Minnesota Vikings have traded the 25th pick to the San Francisco 49ers. With the 25th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State.
So welcome back to our NFL Draft coverage on The Score here, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, and David Haugh joining us. Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. Guy who had a core muscle surgery on April 7th. So taking advantage of what will not be an offseason on the field, it appears, but a real good player here with a lot of production at Arizona State and a tremendous explosive talent in terms of vertical jump at 4.5 40. But that injury will sideline him maybe a little bit. But the 49ers giving up quite a bit to get him. They give up the 31st pick, 117th, and the 176th to the Minnesota Vikings. We'll start the explanation and the dissection with Hub Arkish.
Well, you know, another one of these top wide receivers that a lot of people liked, another one that I had in the middle of the second round, and so for the 49ers to pay this much is a little surprising to me. Then you've got a surgery, you know, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that you obviously can't have any kind of medicals on, so it's a big risk. Obviously, they loved what they saw before the injury, but I personally can't. T. Higgins, to me, and Denzel Mims should have been the next two off the board a little while ago. So now we're just getting into, you know, it's a matter of what flavor do you like the best. And obviously, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan see something here that, at least at this point in the draft, I didn't really see.
Let's go to Dan Pompey.
You know, interesting pick. I think this is one that the 49ers have to be looking at the long term with this kid as opposed to the immediate payback. Not only is he coming off the surgery and the injury, but he also is a guy who ran a kind of limited route tree at Arizona State and might not be quite as ready to contribute at the NFL level as some of these other receivers are. He could take a little time, a little coaching, before he's really in an NFL groove. So interesting pick from that standpoint.
David?
It's hard to account for taste. You never quite know what's going to appeal to one coach over another. You wonder with the Eagles, the way they went with Rager, and that was kind of considered a little bit of a reach. You wonder about the way that Lynch and Shanahan made this sort of pick. Are they drafting for scheme? Are they drafting for guys who they think can fit into a certain specific offense or a role? You know, in this case, it's a slot receiver, perhaps, that you think a guy who's very good after the catch. So I don't know, but they are both, you know, in the examples I just cited, secure coaches who believe in their offense, and they're getting receivers who they think can play a pretty dynamic role in that. So they get the benefit of the doubt, even though this one is a bit of a head-scratcher.
All right, the Miami Dolphins have made a deal. The Green Bay Packers have moved up to the 25th pick. The Dolphins today are ready with Austin Jackson and Tua Tagovailoa. And now my mind's racing, Tom, there. I'm thinking, okay, are they going to go for Jordan Love here?
You know, they could. You know, that's their MO, is they go out and they hire, they draft a quarterback when they know a quarterback has a couple of years of service left so they can start teaching him. But Jordan Love kind of reminds me of two of the quarterbacks they've recently drafted, the kid out of UCLA and the kid out of Notre Dame. And neither of them flourished very well there. But Jordan Love is probably a better athlete than the two guys that they drafted previously. So it'll be interesting to see where Matt LaFleur – does Matt LaFleur want to get a quarterback in the mix so the next time around that if Aaron Rodgers wants to – well, he's just signed a contract, so he's going to be around for as long as he wants to be.
David's grinning. I just threw it on the table because, you know, if I'm the Packers, I need receivers too, and Denzel Mims is sitting there, and as Hub said, T. Higgins. I mean, they have a lot to choose from right here.
I want to see the awkwardness. I want to see the Aaron Rodgers reaction if they draft Jordan Love. And I agree that he's better than DeShone Kizer, and I think that's a good comp, Tom. But I would love to see Aaron Rodgers' reaction to this if they, in fact,
Dolphins
pull the trigger.
The Dolphins have traded the 26th pick to the Green Bay Packers. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. Love has tremendous arm talent that has the attention of NFL teams.
Jordan Love off his back foot to the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Aggies!
Love is 6'4" and 224 pounds. He has intriguing NFL potential, but must improve his accuracy after throwing 17 interceptions last season.
Yeah, that was number one in the FBS, Chris Emma. I guess he was charged with doing too much there at Utah State. So everybody's grinning and smiling here on the Zoom. I don't know what to think about it, but in a clean pocket, according to Pro Football Focus, the last couple of years, 44 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. A lot to break down and unpack, honestly, with Jordan Love out of Bakersfield, California. Another California quarterback going to the Green Bay Packers, where Aaron Rodgers also grew up. Who wants at it first? Who wants to dive in, Hub? We'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, tremendous traits, not a great college football player at Utah State. And when you do this at quarterback, you really have to wonder. Now, the good news is you got to believe Aaron Rodgers has got at least 2 or 3 years left in him, you know, based on the way he's playing right now. But when you look at the needs of this football team, you know, I'm going to throw something out here, and I can't wait to hear what you guys say about it. I am absolutely positive that most of the crap that Mike McCarthy got for the relationship with Aaron Rodgers was not fair and was not Mike McCarthy's fault. I'm wondering how Matt LaFleur feels about Aaron Rodgers after 1 year with him, you know, because this pick just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's great to get your guy for the future, but have we seen any signs that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have plenty left in him?
Tom?
Hug, that's what every young head coach that gets hired, he wants to prove that he can be the guy to get rid of this quarterback to develop the next one. Because if Matt LaFleur comes in here and he only succeeds by what Aaron Rodgers has provided for him, and then they try to get into the development stages of this next quarterback, you know, then there's no guarantee it's going to be that Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers baton handoff this time. You know, so Jordan Love, he's got some obstacles to overcome. He's not going to throw from a clean pocket. Aaron Rodgers rarely does. Aaron Rodgers makes his greatness when there's pressure from a breakdown in a pocket to take advantage of the opponent's defense.
Dan Pompey.
Well, you know, I think the pick is kind of crazy. You know, if the Packers really wanted to be the best team that they could be in the near future, what they'd be doing is trying to get Aaron Rodgers some help because he needs help. You know, they could use a wide receiver. They could use a tight end. They could use some offensive line help. And really, all of those players were available for them here, certainly receiver and offensive line. So it's puzzling from that standpoint. You know, and Jordan Love, taking Jordan Love is very different from taking Aaron Rodgers all those years ago when Ted Thompson was GM. This is a guy who I think, you know, is a borderline first-round pick as opposed to Rodgers, who was a guy who at one point was in the discussion for the first overall pick. You know, this is a guy who throws interceptions and has been kind of erratic. The scouts I talked to say that the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes are way off. I mean, this kid's got talent, and with coaching, he could develop into a good player. But you're out on a limb a little bit taking him here in this situation, without a doubt.
David?
Wondering why they didn't get Aaron Rodgers help with offensive weapons. If you're wondering how Aaron Rodgers is going to accept this, if you're wondering about how well Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers get along, as Hub pointed out, they invited all that scrutiny. They invited all those questions. When you take a quarterback in the first round and you have one of the best who ever lived, you are asking for trouble, and they just might get it because they could have gone another direction. Jordan Love is very fascinating in terms of his potential, but right now you have a controversy where none existed for a playoff team and one to consider here in Chicago.
Tom, you're just dying over there. What are you going to say? You're rocking back and forth in your chair like you're about to do something like Columbus discovered America here. What do you got?
I dropped my pen. But do you remember the first statement out of Brett Favre's mouth when they went and hired they drafted Aaron Rodgers? Brett Favre said, "It's not my job to develop the backup quarterback. That's the coach's job." And believe me, I think with David Howell talking about earlier, David, I think that's some of the reaction that you're going to get out of Aaron Rodgers here. He's not signed his contract to make sure that he develops the quarterback behind him. It's about him getting himself prepared and the coaches developing quarterback play behind him.
Hub?
Yeah, I mean, you've got some of the best wide receivers in college football sitting on the board, which is a huge need for the Green Bay Packers. You've got all of the tight ends on the board, which is a huge need for the Green Bay Packers. They're not very good on the interior offensive line. You've only got Cesar Ruiz off the board. And then you come over on the defensive side. Xavier McKinney is still out there, the best safety in this draft. You've still got some really good inside linebackers. There were so many areas where this team needed to get better, and they ignore them all to go get not just the quarterback of the future, but a very controversial quarterback of the future prospect-wise. And then you get to all of the you know, locker room issues, the communication issues with Rodgers. This is one of the more bizarre picks I've seen by any team in the last couple of years.
Well, he does have size. He does have a live arm. He does have a big window to make some progress. Interestingly, you know, when they got Aaron Rodgers, how old was Brett Favre? He was 35 years of age. Aaron Rodgers is 35 years of age. Jordan Love out of Utah State is now a Green Bay Packer. They also give up the 136th pick, and then the Dolphins pick up the 30th pick overall. So four quarterbacks in the first round as we had a little stoppage in play with the receivers after that selection, because six of the previous 14 picks were all wide receivers, so a bit of a run on wide receivers. Seattle, Baltimore, and Tennessee coming up next here in round one. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, Dan Pompey, and David Haw. The columnist in you just couldn't help yourself. You knew you had a column already written. I want to know what the headline would be for this one in the Green Bay Post-Gazette.
Forbidden Love. I mean, this is what you want to look at if you're the Packers, and you wonder what were they doing here by inviting this kind of controversy, because this is a very good team. They have a lot of, you know, needs, but this, they're coming off a terrific season, and Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old, and he won't be there forever. But this is different from Brett Hundley, who was the 147th player drafted overall. DeShone Kizer was a trade from the Browns, who was coming in clearly as a backup, not necessarily as the quarterback of the future, but they're drafting Jordan Love, planning a succession plan, and that is fun, and that is irresistible. You're right, Jeff, for anybody who does what we do.
All right, Hub.
And I do want to follow on Dave's comment there, because as I just said, I think it's one of the more bizarre picks I've seen in a couple of years. But in all fairness, you always have to look at both sides of the spectrum here. What it tells us is that Brian Gutekunst loves Jordan Love. And we do know that he does have a very high ceiling. He's got some excellent traits, you know, and if you get him the right coach, and Matt LaFleur is supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. He's an offensive guy. And as you just pointed out, Jeff, Aaron Rodgers sat and waited 3 years, you know, so it's not like there's any immediate pressure. So while I don't like the pick at all, the problem is for the Packers is it's not just Aaron Rodgers' window who's closing. I mean, this is not a young football team. And so to not do something to get better and compete this year doesn't make a lot of sense. But I do need to point out, I did talk to some people, I said this near the top of the show, who really like this kid. And so obviously Gutekunst thinks he's got the next Aaron Rodgers.
In Seattle and all over the country to take care of our most vulnerable. It's great to see our teams and stadiums helping those who need it the most in our communities. So with the 27th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Jordan Brooks, linebacker, Texas Tech.
All right, Jordan Brooks. Now, that was a guy that I thought might go to the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Brooks at linebacker, Seattle's pick, and, you know, they have a very good track record with the linebacker position. I think Schneider and Carroll have a great and probably underrated symbiotic relationship in terms of what they want in general almost every year, and they take their time in putting things together on either side of the ball. But what do you guys know about Jordan Brooks? As I'm trying to pull up my notes and my computer's not cooperating, I'll hand it off to Hub Arkish.
Yeah, I've got it here, Jeff. This is a really good football player from Texas Tech. He's going to be on the inside. He's a little short at 6'1", but he's 245 pounds, runs a 4.5/4.40, so he can be a three-down linebacker, four-down linebacker. Stay on the football field. Did not have him rated anywhere near this highly. I think there's some better linebackers on the board, but this is a kid who was exceptionally productive at Texas Tech. I talked earlier about Justin Reagor. He's a kid who was better in 2018 than he was in 2019, but still very good in 2019. And if there's ever, you know, there are certain teams that always go off the board, and the Seattle Seahawks are one of them, and Pete Carroll and John Schneider get it right a lot more often than they get it wrong. So I'm going to be a little more forgiving on this one than I was with the Packers just now.
Tom, the big concern for anybody would be the shoulders. He's had surgery on both, the most recent one coming just here in December. So he didn't do anything other than run his 40 at the scouting combine.
Yeah, that would definitely be a red flag for me. But he kind of fits the mold of the linebacker that this defensive style likes out there. And then when you think of the contribution of the crowd noise when they play at home, and he's got good on the line of scrimmage instincts, he's got good snap count awareness, and he's got good explosion at the snap of the ball. You just think of the advantages that he's going to have in at least half of the games being a defensive player at Seattle. Again, I think this fits the mold of their linebacker position, the size and everything that they like. So, you know, I do think it's a good, solid pick. And what defensive player wouldn't want to go to Seattle to play?
David?
And you look at these guys who come from this conference again, when you have athletic linebackers who have done everything required of them, when they're playing against high-powered offenses, you like the way that they would translate, and you like the way that they would, you know, go to a defensive scheme that's going to rely upon their athleticism and instincts and not get too carried away with trying to fit them into a certain box. Good fit with Pete Carroll. I like this pick a lot.
Dan Pompey, the Baltimore Ravens on the board at number 28. And like I said earlier with Kenneth Murray, this seems like a slam dunk for a guy like a Patrick Queen that Hub talked about from LSU, another productive linebacker that might fit that mold in Baltimore. Or do you just make the best offense in football Well, I guess it's an argument, a point. I don't know what the best offense in football really is because the Saints make it look so easy, but the Baltimore Ravens sure knew how to tear it up last year on the strength of their running game and Lamar Jackson.
Well, certainly they could use a wide receiver, although Patrick Queen would be a good selection here as well. I'm surprised Brooks went ahead of Queen myself. I thought Queen was more highly regarded by all of the people I spoke with. So that one was a little bit of a surprise. The other thing, too, you know, at this point of the draft, you usually want a player who could either make big plays or prevent big plays. So, you know, you're talking about for a defensive player, guys are going to get sacks or interceptions, and for an offensive player, you know, touchdowns or a tackle, someone who could get the get your quarterback protected. So for an inside linebacker who's basically a rundown player, I don't know that you're getting great value, especially when you're talking about a trade-up. So, you know, the guy's got to be pretty special if you're going to take an inside linebacker at this point of the draft.
All right, we're going to step away. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Athletics. The Wildcats would like to thank all those working throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, including healthcare professionals. Thank you for helping keep us safe. Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, David Haw, Dan Pompey, Mark Rohde, Jeff Joniak. This is the NFL Draft 2020 on The Score, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Back with more on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the 28th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Patrick Queen, linebacker, LSU.
Patrick Queen, linebacker, LSU. The 6 foot, 229-pound linebacker brings 4-5 speed out of the Tigers' championship defense. He recorded 85 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception last season.
So Baltimore does get its linebacker, passes on any more offense for the time being. Really a one-year starter there in a 3-4 defense down at LSU. Good blitzer. Arguably the fastest linebacker coming out of the SEC. Grew up just 30 minutes from LSU, so his whole life basically down there as he heads to Baltimore in a football-crazy town with a very, very great history of defense. Jeff Joniak along with Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, David Haw, Dan Pompey, breaking it down. Well, Tom, take at it on this one right now to start us off.
About Patrick Queen, you got to like what, you know, one thing about Baltimore is they always provide you good defensive line help, and they want their linebackers to run free sideline to sideline. And when you pick up a guy like Patrick Queen, not the biggest guy, 6 foot, 230, but he runs so well, it's going to be hard for offensive linemen to get in a bendable position and anticipate at proper angles to get to him. So I think it's a good matchup. And I think, you know, when you're a linebacker and you're looking to go to a team that has an explosive offense like Baltimore, you're going to get extra reps, you're going to get extra time on the field, and you're going to get extra chances to rush the passer.
Hubby's got a big character fitting in there in Baltimore, and plays with a nasty attitude.
Yeah, guys, Dan absolutely nailed this a couple minutes ago. I had Queen as the 17th best player in the draft. Definitely a full round ahead of Jordan Brooks, who goes right in front of him. And again, I've made reference a couple times to that national championship game. I watched two or three of his games. He's a late bloomer, but at one point when that game was still in doubt, it seemed like Queen was making every tackle on the field. I mean, he was everywhere, and that was where I really started to focus on him a little bit. I think the Ravens have got an outstanding football player here. He is a little smaller than what they normally like. You know, he's a good 20 pounds less than Ray Lewis. But boy, he's going to step in and I think be a plug-and-play starter, and he has a chance to be really good for a long time.
Dan?
Yeah, good pick for the Ravens. I think good value here. Probably would have gone higher if he had a longer history of play time. He didn't really become a starter until this season, but he made up for lost time, I think, with some really good production. I had one scout told me that he was just kind of a tick below Roquan Smith in terms of how he graded him and regarded him, and we all know Roquan was very highly regarded coming out. I think this guy is in the tradition of Ravens defensive players, and he'll fit in well there.
David?
I thought of Roquan when I saw him playing too. I mean, he's fast, he's physical, he gets downhill, he can go sideline to sideline. Not the greatest at taking on blocks directly, but he's somebody that will benefit from experience. He only started one season. Some people might have held that against him, but you project him as a real impact-type player in an organization that knows what they're doing when it comes to linebackers. Some teams have all the luck, and you would say that that's lucky, but this is a very good evaluation process the Ravens have going there. So they did it again with a linebacker that's going to be a plug-and-play type of guy.
And like you say, 6'1", 236 was Roquan Smith's numbers coming out. This guy's 6'2", 229, and ran a 4.51. This guy ran a 4.50. Patrick Queen at linebacker. Tennessee up at 29. Then it's Miami after the trade. That's rocking Twitter world. The Green Bay Packers trading up to get Jordan Love, the quarterback. So this was supposed to be all about Tua tonight. Is it all about Jordan Love, fellas? Is that what we're saying? At least from the Midwest NFC North Division angle, I guess, of it. David?
Well, I think you can ask the question, which was a bigger surprise, the Dolphins taking Tua at 5, where a lot of people projected, or the Packers putting themselves in a position to create, you know, some questions at quarterback by drafting Jordan Love at the end of the first round? I think still Tua is a bigger story and a bigger headline, but in Chicago, you can't help but look at what they're doing in Green Bay and wonder about the succession plan and how quickly that might, you know, are they accelerating that by drafting somebody in the first round as good and as high of a ceiling as Jordan Love has?
Tom?
You think that the teams that drafted the other quarterbacks, there's no quarterbacks in front of them that's going to ignite the Twitter world like you're talking about. You think about the Green Bay Packer fans, they probably felt that they let Brett Favre go a couple years early, and they don't ever want to think about losing Aaron Rodgers. So now when you start, and David, he kind of started this whole instigation anyways, because he wanted to see a quarterback drafted by the Packers just for the controversy. And there is going to be controversy because Aaron Rodgers is the favorite son of Green Bay right now. He makes a lot of money according with his new contract.
Ninth pick in the 2020 NFL draft. The Tennessee Titans select Isaiah Wilson, tackle, Georgia.
So the other Georgia offensive lineman, the right tackle, the mammoth Isaiah Wilson, goes to a team that loves to run the football in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Seems to make a lot of sense here. This guy is a huge guy, and he's the seventh offensive lineman taken tonight in the first round through the first 29 picks of the NFL draft. A guy that some people said would sneak into the first round. Others didn't have him there. Others had him in the second round. But some of the draft experts were thinking this way. A slowest 40 time of all the linemen, but at 350 pounds, I'm not too worried about it. This guy can move people out of the way. Let's start with Hub.
Well, you know, Jeff, this was actually somewhat predictable. For a couple of years, the Tennessee Titans had the best pair of bookends in the league with Taylor Lewan on the left side and Jack Conklin on the right, and they let Conklin get away in free agency this year. You've got Wilson is purely a right tackle, but Luan's one of the best left tackles in the league. And you said it, at 6'6", 350, you want a road gate grader in front of Derrick Henry, who's the biggest running back in the NFL? This is a perfect fit for what we've now learned offensive coordinator Arthur Smith wants to do. Wilson, very highly thought of. A guy who, you know, a number of scouts told me he may never go to the Pro Bowl, but I'll bet you he starts for 10 years in the league. And so it's a real good fit for where Tennessee was at. Again, part of it playing the salary cap. You know, they chose to pay both Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. They let Conklin get away. Now they've got a kid on a rookie deal who can fill that Conklin spot, and they're right back where they were when they ended the season on the strongest upbeat of anybody else in the league.
Tom, what do you think about him?
I'd like to weigh him today. I'd just like to see where his weight is, because when I look at a guy that's 350 pounds with the slowest 40, if he has any hesitancy of getting out of his three-point stance, if he's slow and loses leverage out of his two-point stance because he's above 6'6", I would have an issue with that, Jeff. And this is not an offensive lineman where you can explode into the 350, 360 range because you're just slowing down. So I could tell you a little bit more about him if he could get on a scale today and he got in and he was in the 340 range, because then it would at least show me that he's got a little bit of a work ethic that I'm not worried about him having his weight explode a year, two into it, or even when he's unsupervised in his weightlifting routine.
Dan Pompey.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad pick for this point in the draft, given what the Titans needed, what happened to them in the offseason, free agency. But there are some hangups with this guy. You know, I think he's been a little inconsistent based on what scouts told me in terms of his play at Georgia. And also they wonder a little about his football character, his maturity, that sort of thing. So maybe a little bit of a work in progress with this guy, but he's got the ability, that's for sure.
All right. Now as we look at this winding down here, the Miami Dolphins at number 30, then the Niners. I think the Niners still have the 31st. Maybe they don't. In Kansas City, the last three picks of this first round. Now we start to formalize a little game plan for the Bears at 43 and 50 tomorrow night in round two. Let's bring in Mark Grody once again, because I know there's a lot of folks out there would like to see them go back into the tight end realm on draft day. Was that something that you might suggest for Ryan Pace, the general manager?
You know, it's possible. The releasing of Trey Burton certainly added a whole new layer to what GM Ryan Pace may or may not do in the draft at tight end.
That's a position, you know, we've emphasized, you know, we did in free agency with the signing of Jimmy Graham and Demetrius Harris. You know, the one silver lining last year as we kind of went through that position is we did accumulate some guys that are interesting for us. You know, as we look at the depth of that room, I know we got a lot of tight ends and we got to filter through that. But I think with the adding of Jimmy Graham, Demetrius Harris, I think that helps fortify that group. But, hey, it's also a good tight end draft. So if there's guys there that we like, we consider it.
Yeah, he said we'd consider it. Jesper Horsted, J.P. Holt shined at times last season, but you got to believe they're still looking for more production from somebody. I know you guys have mentioned Cole Kmet. I mean, all the tight ends are obviously available at this point. Adam Troutman out of Dayton, Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic, even Bryson Hopkins out of Purdue, a potential for the Bears, maybe with one of those second-round picks. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, let's just kick it around, because we're not saying that they have to in second round, but David, in terms of what they still might need at that position through this sorting of talent that they have on the roster right now, do any of these guys right now, second round worthy, fit that bill?
At tight end?
Yeah.
Are we talking strictly a tight end?
Strictly a tight end.
If they pick a tight end not named Cole Kmet in the second round, Ryan Pace probably won't want to come out of his living room in Chicago, because that guy is the most popular tight end prospect out there, number one at the position coming out. If they go that direction, Jeff, and I'm not convinced that they will necessarily based on what's happened today and the players who are still on the board maybe ranked ahead of him, but if they did go for tight end, to me it would be a no-brainer. You've got to go with a Notre Dame guy, the local guy who grew up a Bears fan, all the symmetry, but he's a heck of a football player as well. You would have to go with Cole Kmet.
Tom, what do you think of Cole?
I like him. I like what he's been able to accomplish. I have a little bit of concern for injuries of the tight end position. I don't think he's going to walk onto the field and be a better online blocker than J.P. Holtz. Is he going to be a better U tight end than Jimmy Graham? I just need to get these guys identified of where they're going to play. A lot like the wide receiver class here. There's a lot of wide receivers, so you're trying to choose the size and the shape you want. There's not very many tight ends, so you want to kind of pick out What do you need your offense to accomplish out of the tight end position to get better? I think it's more catches from the online of scrimmage tight end, more of a threat in the red zone. But you got to get value out of that U tight end position. I know Jimmy Graham, 6 out of the last 7 years, he's played all 16 games. But if you're going to take Cole Kmet, you got him listed 6'5", 262. He reminds me of a tight end that's going to line up next to an offensive tackle. And to me, J.P. Holtz has shown that his versatility of tight end, H-back, and fullback. He can do it all, but that's the obligation of the tight ends today.
Dan?
Look, if you're going to get a tight end, if you want a tight end, you better get one quickly, because there aren't many of them. So if by some – I don't think Komet's going to be there when the Bears pick. I think he's going to go, if not today, in the early parts of the second round. But if he were there, he would certainly be – a pick that would be a good pick for the Bears, I think. I don't know, though, that anyone else would be worth picking at 43 for sure.
How barkish?
You know, Jeff, first I want to take a step back and look at the view from 20,000 feet. If I am Ryan Pace, I'm getting pretty excited right now because, listen, my draft board, I'm the only one who's drafting off it. No NFL teams are, but it's a compilation of talking to all 32 teams. And I've still got 10 players with first-round grades on the board, and 17 of my top 20 second-round grades are still on the board. The Bears are going to have choices amongst much better football players than I had any real confidence that they would coming in. Now, I'm in a bit of a minority in the second. I want a safety more than I want a cornerback. Every safety is still on the board. Xavier McKinney, who I had, top 25, the next Eddie Jackson. I don't think he lasts till 43, but then you look at a Grant Delpit and Antoine Winfield Jr. You look at, Jeremy Chinn. I'm not a big Kyle Duggar guy because he gives me Adam Shaheen syndrome, but, you've got all these safeties out there and great cornerbacks. Dan and I were talking during one of the breaks. I am absolutely taken aback that Jalen Johnson is still out there. Now, will he last that much longer? I don't know. But three or four cornerbacks, wide receivers are all over the place. And now I'll come to the tight end thing. I'm going to commit a little bit of a heresy here. I had Cole Kmet as my number one tight end up until about 4 or 5 days ago. I like the kid a lot. I think he's a good prospect. I've actually got a little bit of a relationship with his dad going back to Frank's days with the Bears. But the more people I talk to, when the third different team told me that their comp from Harrison Bryant was George Kittle, I finally stopped and listened, okay? And on most rankings, you're going to see Harrison Bryant number two or number one, along with Cole Kmet. Bryant, even though he's at Florida Atlantic and not Notre Dame, is the more developed player right now. He is a much better inline blocker, which we're assuming that Cole can learn to be. He's already a really good one, and he is also the same type of receiver. So if you go tight end, I'd be tempted to go Harrison Bryant, but I'm going to agree. I think it was Dan who said it. I think Kmet could go to Cincinnati at 33. They've got a huge need at tight end. They just drafted their quarterback.
The 2020 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Noah Igbinoghene, defensive back, Auburn.
Okay, very promising cornerback going to the Miami Dolphins. We're going to take a break first before we break it down. The Dolphins picking up the Packers draft pick. The Packers moving up to select Jordan Love, the quarterback from Utah State. Approaching 11 o'clock here, our draft coverage brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Jeff Gladney, cornerback, TCU. The 5'10", 191-pound prospect was a three-year starter with the Horned Frogs. He had five career interceptions in college.
He is now a Minnesota Viking. Jeff Gladney selected, and a guy that a lot of people have high grades on. And I tell you, every time I did some research, there was a note that Jeff Gladney had done a video interview with a team. He virtually did the entire league. Out of TCU, by way of New Boston, Texas, third in forced incompletion percentage in the college football world last year. Did have a meniscus surgery March 20th, so I throw the red flag on that a little bit, but see where he's at. But overall, five interceptions in his career, played a lot of games, 50 games. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Hub Arkish, David Haw, and Dan Pompey winding down the first round with one selection left to go. Corners off the board back-to-back, so six corners in this first round. Seven offensive linemen, six receivers, four quarterbacks, four linebackers, no tight ends, no running backs, no safeties. That's the I know I missed a couple things here, but that's kind of the theme of the night with Tua Tagovailoa going to the Dolphins at number five, Joe Burrow's number one, and Justin Herbert number six to the Chargers, and Jordan Love going to the Green Bay Packers on a trade-up. All right, so these last two selections, we'll start with Dan Pompey.
Well, I think the Gladney selection is a pretty good one for the Vikings, although Jalen Johnson remains on the board. I'm starting to wonder, he had a shoulder injury, and I'm starting to wonder if that is not making him fall a little bit, because I don't have another good explanation for it. Gladney, not the biggest guy, he's about 5'10", but he's got long arms. might be best used inside, according to the scouts who I've spoken with. So, you know, doesn't have quite some of the versatility of some of the other corners who've been taken. However, I think he's a guy who's got made a lot of plays on the ball. He had 27 pass breakups in his career there. So he can do some things. Good tackler, fearless player. You know, he'll fit in well. The Vikings really needed a cornerback badly, so it does not surprise me to see them take one here.
David?
So do the Bears. That's the problem here in the last two picks. Igbenogawi and Gladney are two corners that the Bears thought might be there at 43 and 50. Several mock drafts had placed them at different times throughout the process, but I think those are two really smart picks because, you know, there's a run on cornerbacks now. Six going in the first round doesn't leave a lot from the Bears to choose from. You wonder how that affects Ryan Pace's thinking. Gladney goes into Minnesota. I think they've had a good night, the Vikings in the NFC North. And I just think now you look at the Bears and the defensive backs, there's not a safety that's been taken yet. And you wonder if their thinking shifts from cornerback priority to safety.
Tom?
One thing about, you know, the Minnesota pick is, you know, when you talk about losing Linville Joseph, you think about losing Everson Griffin, you know, you're talking about a team now. Are they going to provide the same type of defensive pressure to be able to help their defensive backs out? And when you talk about a 5'10 corner, if you're not getting immediate pressure either at home or on the road, you can expose a smaller guy like that. And maybe he will move to the inside and play against that third receiver, but the third receiver can still take advantage of him. So Minnesota lost a lot of talent. I don't know if you're going to rely on these young guys to play such an important role at wide receiver and defensive back, and you think that they're going to fill the shoes of some of the veterans they've lost.
Up.
You know, Jeff, Igbenogane is a kid I really had my eye on for the Bears at 43, and I like him a lot, but that's, I thought he was going to be there at 43, so it's a little rich up there at 30. Now, Gladney to Minnesota at 31, I had him at 32. It's obviously a good fit, but like Dan, I mean, my next corner on the board was Jalon Johnson 10 picks earlier. Maybe it's the injury. Also, Stephon Diggs' brother, Trayvon, I had a spot ahead of Gladney at 31. He's still there. So that's really interesting. And, you know, we've got the Chiefs on the board now. This is easy. I don't care what their needs are. Who's the fastest wide receiver left on the board? You know, so they probably can't. You know, I don't know if they will, but that's what they always do. Guys, one other thing we can throw out here as we get close to wrapping it up. The Bears do need another running back. I mean, Tariq Cohen is not a number two running back. He should be the third down back and a special weapon. I don't know if David Montgomery is one or two, but he belongs in a tandem. All the running backs are still on the board. There's going to be a really good one there at 43. It's not something I thought the Bears would do there, but as I'm reading these lists, I think there's a very good chance that one, maybe two of the best players on the board at 43 are now going to be running backs.
I thought the same thing, and there's some enticing aspects to that. You know, you talk about a team that needs to score points and hopefully, you know, getting in a position where they are running the ball more. Tom, how would you feel about that? And we'll get to Dan.
Yeah, I want Dan to raise his hand because I want to see it. I'm not a big fan of drafting. I think the Bears have bigger needs than to get a backup help to David Montgomery. I have a lot of respect for David. I think he's good at everything, and I think that they could find a running back to come in and plug in behind him. You know, Hub, I just think that, and Dan, I just think the safety cornerback position is just, you know, such a position of need right now when you got the highest paid safety in the league and, you know, maybe match him up next to a rookie contract safety. That's the direction I would like to see him go.
Yeah, I really think the Bears need to address a hole on their roster right now. And I don't think running back is a hole. And the other thing is, we're talking about a team that does not run the football. They cannot use the first pick in two straight drafts on a running back.
But we don't know. Maybe the things are going to change.
Okay, Jeff. Okay.
the collaboration, we haven't heard what the collaboration has put forth yet.
Pick. In the 2020 NFL Draft, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs select Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, LSU.
You know what? I was going to – I'm not joking. I wrote it down because it's on my screen. I said, this is the guy. It was going to be him or Laviska Shenault because they can't help themselves. This guy gets more positive vibe from people that I have trusted over the years talking about players, and the kid out of Baton Rouge has got a lot to him. He was in a system, obviously, Joe Brady, with pro pass concepts. That this guy is an outstanding receiver, outstanding weapon. At 164 in the national title, went over Clemson. Yet another LSU player off the board, and there is a running back who sneaks in at number 32. We'll start with Hub.
Well, yeah, Jeff, I just want good pick for the Chiefs, a definite need, a very good football player. But I'm going to go back to what we were talking about, the fifth running back on my board. There's four backs I've got ranked ahead of him. I agree with Tom. You don't put this kind of priority on drafting running backs. I agree with Dan. They have other needs. But if you've got three or four players there, you know, who've got late first, high second round grades, the other piece you got to remember is without a trade, you don't get a chance at it again until the fifth round. And by the time you get back there, you're not going to get one of these prospects at that position. So it's not necessarily what I would do. I still am looking at safety and cornerback and receiver. Again, two of our guys there, T. Higgins and Denzel Mims, are going to go into day two on the board. But I'm just at this point trying to figure best available players, because that's what Ryan told us he was going to do. And suddenly this is a position where I didn't expect this many good players to be there.
All right, boys, let's put a wrap on this one and get some final thoughts. David, we'll start with you.
Well, I think the NFC North had a really good night, an interesting night. Minnesota had got better. I think the Lions got their cornerback, and the Packers certainly invited a lot of scrutiny with Jordan Love, with maybe the most intriguing pick of the night. If you're the Chicago Bears, you saw a lot of corners go off the board. You saw a lot of offensive linemen go off the board, and it may have shifted your priorities. And I just worry. I worry, and we'll talk about this at 5 a.m. with Molly, with the Mullion Haas Show. I'll be right back. And what will the Bears do if three running backs, if Jonathan Taylor and Swift and Dobbins are on the board, can they resist the temptation to get another weapon, to get another toy for that offense that will neglect the running game? I don't know, but it's going to be fascinating to follow tomorrow.
Dan Pompey, final thoughts.
You know, I thought the Bears have to be pretty happy with the way the first round went. I think they have to be happy that Green Bay did not pick a player that can help them this year, and that they have a chance to gain some ground on the Packers. Obviously, it was a good night for the Vikings, adding two players who are probably going to start for them pretty quickly, and the Lions end up getting a good cornerback in Okuda. But I think, as Hub has been pointing out too, there are a number of really good players still available who are kind of players who fit what the Bears need. At a number of positions. So they still have a number of picks to go before they get theirs, but I think they're in a good spot moving into the second day.
Tom?
Again, I'm just going to stick to my guns that I would like the safety corner to be. I still think there's players out there. That's where the Bears' biggest void is. But Matt Nagy, He likes toys, man. He likes speed. He likes offensive players. So I don't disagree with Hub when he brings up the running back position, because there are some great ones out there. But, man, I just think about the defense at the latter part of the year and the safety cornerback help they need. You can't play a season without those two positions.
Hub,
well, you know,
you
Jeff,
got the final word.
Well, all right, and let's put the running backs aside for a minute, because we're not disagreeing, guys. It's not, where I would see the Bears using their first pick. I'm just stunned that there's that much talent there. But what's exciting to me is, at least on my board, the Bears are picking 11th tomorrow night without a trade. I got 9 players left with first-round grades. I got 7 more players ranked higher than that. I've got 2 corners with first-round grades. I've got all the safeties, including one with first-round grades. All the tight ends are there, even if they're not ranked as high. I don't know that day one could have set up much better for the Bears going into day two than it looks like it has with what's left to start the lottery again tomorrow.
It should be fun, and all that matters is what grades they have on those players, and it'll be interesting to see what Ryan Pace and the fellas do. Great night, fellas. We'll be back at it at 6 o'clock tomorrow. David, I'm Mullion Haas tomorrow morning at 5. Thank you, Dan Pompey, Hub Arkish, Tom Thayer, Shane Reardon. You killed it, my man. Great job setting all this up. Sean Anderson and Mike Rankin, our producers. Thanks to Mitch Rosen. Thank you all for listening. Complete draft coverage tomorrow morning here on The Score. Joe Ostrowski coming up next. He'll continue to take the baton. Got a lot more ahead over the next couple of days. And thanks to you for listening tonight. Our draft coverage brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. That'll do it for us. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.